If you would open your Bibles this morning, I believe I'm on. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Wake up, it's Monday morning, right? It's raining outside for the high schoolers. It's been candy selling for a few weeks and a few college students as well, right? Especially if you go with me. Whew. A couple of these guys had a long day on Friday. We stayed late and did some bowling alleys, so appreciate the help. I figured I better tell a little joke here to wake everybody up. I've told this before, but I thought if Pastor Armacost can retell stories, then I can retell jokes, right? So it all began with an iPhone. I got an iPhone for my birthday back in March, and then I wanted to be nice to my son, so I gave him an iPod for his birthday back in September. And then I wanted to be nice to my daughter, and I wanted to give her an iPod as well. So then came time to give something to my wife, and I was trying to think, you know, what could I give to my wife? So I finally came up with the idea of giving her an iron. An iron. You know, it was very thoughtful. I mean, it's very expensive, too. My goodness, cost me quite a bit of money. But for some reason, that's kind of when the fight started, you know. Something just happened. I gave her the iron to be integrated into the home network, you know, with the iWash, the iCook, and the iClean. And all those apps synchronized together, but she wasn't too happy about it. So then she put onto my phone the iNag app. So I don't know what happened. So eventually, before long, the story ends up that I ended up in the iHospital, and I get out on Thursday of next week. You know, that's the way it works out. But anyway, I hope you're awake this morning on a nice Monday morning of rain outside. All right, a couple weeks ago, actually a couple months ago, I really got interested in studying about the life of David. And so I apologize if you're offended at that, but I'm going to be preaching for the next several times I preach in chapel on the life of David. And this is one of the most classic passages, one of the best stories in all the Bible. If you're here this summer, I preached on David on a Thursday night in church, and I'm not going to re-preach that same message at all, but I do want to take an aspect of that message, and I've developed it some. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you would, go down to verse 42, a wonderful, wonderful story here of the Philistine. In verse number 41, he came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, with a stick? Are you chasing dogs out here in the wilderness? What are you doing here? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Boy, this just exudes confidence, doesn't it? I mean, he's crazy. He's out there in a battle all by himself, and he is fully confident that God will give him the victory. There's no fear here in the slightest. I don't know if his knees were shaking while he's saying this or if his voice was shaking while he's saying this. But he seems completely confident in this. Verse 48, came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. That's meant to be kind of funny, I think, that he prevailed over this giant. Earlier in the passage in chapter 17, we see that the giant was close to twice my height, if you think about that, I know I'm not real tall and all, but that's still pretty tall. Chances are that he weighed about 400 pounds or more. He's a huge guy. And David is a normal size, like myself, very normal size. And he's out there taking on this giant. I've noticed that giants fall hard when they fall. So some of you tall guys out there, feel sorry for you. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Isn't that something? God gave a great victory. Why? It's not an accident, I don't believe, that God used David to accomplish this great work for him. And I have only 2 points this morning. 2 points that we're going to see of why God used David to accomplish this work, this great work for the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have this morning. Lord, there's a lot of young people in here today that are here to train to do a work for you. And I pray as they prepare for that great work, that we can see some lessons here this morning that would challenge us to make sure that we're prepared to face Goliath, that we're prepared to do something for you. Lord, there's been many, many graduates in the past who have sat under this chapel time that we have here and been challenged and have gone out and done a great work and are doing a great work. And Lord, we want to see more of that. We want to see more of our young people go out to serve you, to see great things happen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's not an accident that God used a man, a young man like David. David was probably not a teenager here. David was probably a young adult already. In chapter 16, we see that he was already then identified as a man of war. He's not a little kid, you know, a 14-year-old going out and facing this giant. He's a young man, but obviously by comparison, he's not much to Goliath. David wasn't the only one also who did these kinds of great works. We know that Samson, he defeated 1,000 Philistines at one time. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, I believe it is, and one of those other chapters, let me see here, 2 Samuel 23, we find a lot of the mighty men around David had also done great things. Similar to this, they defeated giants, they defeated lion-like men. One guy defeated 800 of the opposing enemy. He killed them, and the Bible says he did it at one time, in one setting. Of course, we know some of those stories. So this is not, you know, the most unbelievable story. It had happened numerous other times, and David was surrounded by people like this. This is quite a group of people, by the way. David was like this, killing a giant all by himself, and he was surrounded with people who were just like him. Some of them his relatives, his nephews. So this isn't the only time that these great things happen. But the interesting thing about this is, you know, in our day, if you do a great work for the Lord, you see people saved and you see older folks at the nursing home saved. In these days, if you did a great work for the Lord, you go out and you kill a bunch of people. That sounds real great, doesn't it? They went out and they defeated the enemies of the Lord. Samson did that, as I mentioned. The only good thing about Samson really was that he defeated the enemies of the Lord. God used him in that way. And so this really needs to be identified not just as this impossible situation, which it certainly was, but it needs to be identified as this is a time when David performed a great work for the Lord. That's exactly what this is. He did this to protect, to defend the name of the Lord. Now, I suggest that you don't go out and kill somebody to do a work for the Lord, you know. That's not what I'm recommending. But I am saying, and I believe there's great lessons that we can learn from this. Don't you want to see great victories in your life? Great victories.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.